Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hi, I'm Pete Hill, and this is the D-Word Podcast, where we talk dementia. One of the highlights of doing the podcast for me is the ability to talk to friends living with dementia. Our guest this week and I had never met before, but we quickly found we had plenty in common. It's no exaggeration to say that Agnes Houston is an inspiration, her work being rightly recognised with an MBE. Her latest project, along with colleagues at the Scottish Dementia Alumni, has been to design a children's game to raise dementia awareness. Before we talk about that, though, let Agnes tell us a little bit about the group.
Well, as you say, it was a natural progression. We were all very active activists, but our dementia was getting on and we were fed up doing the same old post-diagnostic support, all the buzzwords that you can, you know. I don't have many strategies in Scotland. We all participated in, etc. And we were thinking, but what about us as people, us going through the process, this journey of life, and we just happened through this journey to get dementia, you know? And there's a beginning and a middle and an end. And I think I wrote something down somewhere where when I was thinking about it before we started, but it ain't there, and I think I popped it down, it doesn't matter. And I was saying, you know, it was, so we wanted to look more into it. We still wanted to be activists, researchers and campaigning, but we wanted to get real and away from the medical model and say, what can we do with our life and how can we still live our life, you know? It's, what is it? It's my dementia, my life, my death, my way, you know? It's about me, you know? And so we set up the alumni because we had been around the block. I was a baby of the group, and I think we were over 10 years. Now I'm 17 years, and James is in his 20th year, you know, and so is Nancy. So we set up the group to chat about our thoughts and feelings, and what could we do? We could still do what the charities, et cetera, wanted us to do in the government because we needed to get our voices heard. But what could we do for ourselves? And that's when we set out on this mission. And like we thought the group would last maybe 6 months, maybe a year. And here it is, God knows how many years, 7, 8 years on, and we've written many booklets and pamphlets, and as you said, produced this game for children. And it's all about fun and taking the stigma and the fear away from the D word, dementia, the way they did with cancer at the beginning. You know, everybody would put their black clothing on as soon as they heard the cancer word, and spoke quietly and, you know, that way. And we thought, right, come on, let's do that for dementia and let's get it out. And so, yes, as you say, the Scottish Dementia Alumni, we put our heads together and we said, what do we need? And what booklet will help us to get our needs met? Not the government's needs met, not our carers' needs met, but our personal needs met. You know, so we looked at different things. So we've done a book about dementia. When you get a diagnosis of dementia in Scotland, you're supposed to get an annual GP review. None of us had experienced it. We'd advocated for it, fought for it, but it was a postcode lottery. So we wrote a booklet about dementia and how to use your GP, the GP experience and what your annual review, etc., should look like. And then we realised that when you get a diagnosis of dementia, other things can still happen to you, unexpected things. So we wrote a booklet about dementia and managing the unexpected, you know. And then I have sleep challenges. Everybody bar my lovely Nancy, my pal, you know, she doesn't have sleep challenges. And we wrote a booklet about dementia and sleep challenges. And everything we write, it's research. We write it. And it's a peer-to-peer resource. And we put it out to other people living with dementia to look at it and give their views on it and what they would want added and taken away. And that's how we done it, you know. But as I say, we didn't set up the alumni for that. We set it up, first of all, I think it was one of them, in the female world, they say, they go bitch and stitch. But we thought we were going to do a bit of bitching, you know, and we did do that about the charities, the dementia charities and the government and how they used and abused us in a lot of ways. Never looked after us, going to meetings and taking part in all of these things. Never made sure we were fed. Do you know what I mean? There were none of this, do you know? And so we had a lot of bitching going on and moaning, but we're not that kind of people. We wouldn't go on for long doing that. And we decided, come on, enough's enough. What action are we going to take here, you know? There's only so many names you can call so many people, you know. And we got on with it, and that was the result. We love the game, and that came about because the future is in our children, and our children, if they get educated in a fun way and we can destigmatize it at an early age, they're our scientists and doctors and prime ministers, you know, you never know. So that's why, and we played around with it. We thought we would have a board game because that's our generation, or my generation. And then we thought, you know, activity outside, so we developed this through our eyes, and it's interactive with the children. Everybody is a part of it for as much as you want to do. So it was great. And when we piloted it somewhere in Scotland, Martin and I went, do you know, you think you know what you're up to, and you think you've got it sussed. And there you are, and you're just putting it through the motions to see how the children will react. Well, it was an eye-opener. That could have been a research project in itself. Because like us living with dementia, children will not be put in a box. They're free spirits, you know. And we watched the children evolve through this game. They started out because it was, you know, and the teachers were there and they were interested and they were up for it. But then you seen them, they were partnering up and they were, you know, that we were asking questions, and then they to run from, say, 1, 2, 3, and 4, you know, with their answers. And then you could, and then you seen them debating their answers. So they went from just running to then thinking it, the answers through. And then at one point in the middle of the, I'll never forget it, there were two children, I think it was a boy and a girl, and they were really intense. So they weren't caring that they were taking everybody and everybody else was at their walls. They were debating which way to go. And you know, you see children, they're halfway to a wall and they change their mind and they go back in, have another conversation and go away. And I thought, I never thought this children would process and think things through. And there was one wee girl and she was on her own in a corner. Now, you know, as children, as even as adults, you don't like to make an answer and stand alone. Well, she stood her ground and she was the only one right in the reply about the dementia. Do you know? So you were watching society evolve with these children on how the children were evolving into working collectively. But if you felt strong enough, being strong enough in your feelings to stand alone.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
This is the D Word podcast, and my guest this week is Agnes Houston, and we're chatting about dementia through our eyes, an interactive game for children which has proved a great experience for everyone concerned.
It was an amazing process and I got such a lot out of it. The children, when we said, can you put comments up in the post-its? Oh my goodness me, you should have seen the beautiful post-its. And then when we had question and answers afterwards, we heard about my granddad's got dementia, my granny's got dementia. And they were really interested in it, you know. Another question they asked was, are you frightened of dementia? You know, they put you on. I thought, nobody ever asked me that. And I've been around 17 years getting, you know. So it was really great. And it goes to show you that children, we should protect them. But, you know, life is out there. And in a fun way, you can talk about it and assist children to talk about things that adults are frightened of talking about, have difficulty talking about, you know, shy away from it, not children, you know. And, of course, they say what they think, and so do people with dementia. So we had quite a conversation, you know, that we were really into it, you know. So that was the game. So we're going... we're working with the game. It wasn't just us. We collaborated because, again, the alumni, we've been around a long time. We know that you're stronger collaborating and getting others to give you your views. And we collaborated with a neuroscientist and Lewis Howe and Kate Weldon. We are now going to, we've been invited to go to Orkney in September with the game to show it there, and they're interested in it. Aberdeenshire, they want to put it out to all the schools, you know. So from little things, big things can grow, you know. So that's what's happening there, you know. So yeah.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think the group is great as well. This whole real thing appeals to me. I talk to a lot of people who say they're experts, and I think that the only experts are people who are living with dementia. They're my experts, because I don't know what you're going through. You're the expert in doing that. And I had a go at the game. Yeah, I went through it this morning on the PowerPoint. I thought it was great. And one of the things I really liked about it was the informality in terms of asking the questions. You were in your kitchen, mentioning you've been whitewater rafting and things like that. And also with, you know, I've got to tell the listeners about the facts that Martin brought up, that he was the man who polished his Smarties, which must have impressed the kids. It certainly impressed me.
Yeah, you know, and it's amazing because the children see you as real people, and that even with a diagnosis, you're still real people, you know. And because of our age, we've all done many exciting different things, you know. And, you know, and it is because we'll say maybe to the children when we're chatting to them, what's the most exciting thing that's happened to you, you know? And then we'll say, what's the most exciting thing that's happened to us? What's the most embarrassing thing that's happened? It's just getting the conversation going to let them know that we're all human beings and that, and learning more about it. The children's questions were very intuitive and very, they'd obviously been listening and taking on board a lot of it, you know. And of course, for the, it doesn't cost a lot of money when they're doing it in the thing and they're running back and forth, you know. And so it's, they're getting a lot of knowledge as well of exercise and laughter, you know. So enjoyed doing it. It wasn't what we thought it was going to turn out to be. And it's ever evolving, you know, because when we pilot it and we're at other schools, the children will suggest things and we'll adapt and change it, you know, and the teachers, the ease of use, you know. So it's it goes to show you that it doesn't take a lot of money, you know. It just takes you thinking outside the box and having a want. I think with the alumni too, we have a want to make it happen. And we don't want a meeting on when the next meeting's going to be. We don't want a meeting to see what, where we'll have it and where we'll have it and, you know, how much it'll cost and, you know, that kind of thing. We just got on with it. And the alumni, we were using Zoom well before. People with dementia were using Zoom well before the professionals, well before COVID, you know. So we were, Martin, he's great at it. He was teaching them. When we were on a Zoom meeting and they didn't know what to do, it was people with dementia that had been using it a long time, says, just take your time and you do this and you do that, you know. So, yeah, we learn from one another. We talk about experts, but we learn from one another. And if you meet and you don't find out something about the person that you've met with and learn something when you walk away, you think, oh, I didn't know that. Oh, that was interesting, or I'll try that. You know, that's what makes it work. And just because you've got a diagnosis of dementia doesn't mean that that curiosity that we've got as human beings, you know, we still have it. So now the new thing that the alumni are going to be doing is that that nobody else wants to talk about or shies away about is about death and dying. You know, and planning and preparing it, making sure that it's not just a medical model of death, you know, are you out of pain? Are you comfortable? You know, are your bodily needs being met? But what about your way? What kind of music do you want? Have you got a favourite animal? Or what will happen to that favourite animal if anything happens to you? There are lots of things that need to be spoken about, I believe. Not need, but it's good to speak about it so that it's not an it's just a seamless process, and that you can take the fear away from it, that you know that you've got your affairs in order. That's the easy bit. Getting your affairs in order is dead easy. Arranging your funeral is dead easy. But it's getting the other things, the things that really matter to your core, you know, how would you spend your time if you couldn't get out of bed? Do you want to die at home or in a hospice? The reasons behind that. And there's no right or wrong way. I think I said to you, it's my dementia, my life, my way, you know, and I want it. That's the philosophy of my life, you know, that's the way I've always lived my life, you know. So in the alumni, it's hard in the alumni sometimes because we're all strong-minded characters. So we're very good with one another, and we use the cards I want to speak. We've got etiquette when we're talking on Zoom. And it's when we're doing booklets, it's not about the I, you know. It's a getting the collective, and it's knowledge is power. So it's collecting and researching the appropriate knowledge and information and having links so people can make their own mind up. And it's a knowledgeable decision based on this is what it is. But not everybody has the ability to research. Not everybody has, with their dementia, the capability of it. So we are doing it in a booklet form, so it's easier for, you know, so we're going to take the hard work out of it, you know, and then hopefully people will be able to make informed decisions all through their dementia pathway, you know.
I think it's a very important subject. And one, as you say, one, you know, people shy away from perhaps understandably, but I think it's the whole thing, your whole approach to personalise it is surely the way forward. Because, you know, I think we are kindred spirits in the fact that I got very frustrated working with a major charity about the amount of bureaucracy that was going on rather than actually getting to know the people you're supposed to help. And that's probably why I've ended up here doing what I do. And I think it's just this personal approach we need to adopt. I just want to ask you one thing about the game. Now, I went through it. I really enjoyed it. And I'm sitting there thinking, this is for kids 8 to 10, but there's some adults I know that would really, really benefit from this.
Yeah. And yes, I think so too. And, you know, it's how to get it into it so you're not infantiling the people that are with dementia and the adults that would use it. And I bring that fact back to the group. It's food for thought. We thought about digitalizing, is it making a digital game for the older adults and that? But we wanted to, you know, baby steps first. So, yes, I'll put that to Paula in the group and say to them, you know, that Pete was suggesting some adults would enjoy doing this, you know. But I'm glad you enjoyed it, and I'm glad it made you think. And if you learn anything about dementia, you know, who knows, you know, but I know the kids did, you know.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
You're in June with the D Word podcast, where this week's guest is dementia campaigner Agnes Houston. I think as a society, not only with dementia, but with, you know, a lot of other disabilities and conditions, we just so focus on what people can't do instead of what they can do.
Yes, I know. And I think, and words are very powerful again, Pete. And if they do, if you start, you know, if you're at meetings, if someone starts negative, it just goes negative right through everybody's conversation, you know. And words are powerful. So I think if we use positive words, not taking away the negative things that happen, but, you know, friend, I prefer talking about wellness, you know, and keeping yourself well and fit and active, and you know that. And whereas the in the dementia world, the medical model talk about the loss, you know, you will lose this, you lose your ability to do that. You start getting people saying, well I know my daughter. So then people say, when will I forget my daughter or my husband or what have you? Because I've listened to this, so then it's interpreted it in. It's not maybe it'll happen. It's when will it happen, you know? So I think we need, in the medical model and anything when we're talking about it, I think we need to choose our words very carefully, and but not take away from the fact it's a terrible thing to happen to anyone, any family. It has an impact, but then so does cancer. And who can say that cancer or motor neurons disease or dementia, why would you say one's, you know, when it hits your family, the emotional impact and the impact otherwise it has financial and that on your family is tremendous, and we can't take that away from people trying to live as well as they can. But, you know, I remember having a talk many years ago now, it might be 12 years ago or maybe longer, and I said to my daughter, the nurse had just left, and I says to Donna, do you want to go on the misery bus, because that's where we are, and are we jumping off it and getting on that happy bus, right? I says, because see where these people are taking us, we're going to remain in this miserable, awful place. So my daughter and I jumped off the misery bus and went on the happy bus. Awful things happen to us, no doubt about it, but awful things happen to loads of people. But, you know, it makes it sweeter and easier if you can find the silver lining and put a wee sunshine in. You know, what is it, a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. So go and have a cake. If you want a pint, have a pint. Don't listen to anybody, do you know what I mean? Be as safe as you can, but don't be that concerned with your safety that your life stops and you stop living your life. So it's a balanced way of working of it. And it's very difficult, you know. It's a very difficult thing to do. But as I say, we jumped off the misery bus and went on the happy bus. And we've remained on the happy bus. Sometimes we have, you know, not so good times, you know. But I say to Donna, sunshine's always round the corner, you know, and the bus will be turning the corner shortly, you know. You know, so, yeah. I would like to see, if anybody's listening and that, the professionals and that, to try and make life a wee bit easier for us. The bureaucracy, the form filling, the, you know, you have things that are hard, you know, to do. Right, my writing, it's awful. My understanding of questions and forms, etc. And what have they done? Made the forms even longer, lengthier. in more gobbledygook. It would take a professor sometimes to get to the bottom of it. Is that especially the Department of Work and Pensions and all the things that you have to fill in once your active working life is over due to a cognitive impairment? They asked you to be very cognitive and fill out these forms. You know, awful. But anyway, as I say, but it's much better now, I hope, than it was when I was diagnosed 17 years ago. We wouldn't have been having this conversation. You know, and people living with dementia, they can't say we can't do, because in our group we've got Dr. James McKillop, who's got a doctorate and an MBE. I've got an MBE. Another one's got a British Empire Medal. Martin has went on and got a degree. I mean, we have, it just takes us longer to do it, and we need assistance and help in a lot of ways, but we can still give to society. We're not a burden to society, no matter what the... I was told, you know, and what I was led to believe, that I was going to be a burden to my family and society. Well, my daughter says she, for years, she was running to keep up with me, you know, and all the work that I was doing, you know. I would say to families that have, or anybody that's listening, when you're coming to a person living with dementia or a family living with dementia, remember that to enable them to make the best of what they've got, they're in relationships, in having fun. You know, you were mentioning Christmas at the beginning. Christmas is a hard time. With the noise overload, the sensory overload, and what's expected in that. But with knowledge, it can be a good time for people living with dementia, you know. And it's also pace and space, you know. We're not the young chicks we were 17 years ago. I wish I was. You know, so I need to space myself more, be kinder to myself, you know. And I wish the medical model of care and the social work, I mean, I'm not just having a dish, I wish they would be a wee bit kinder, more considerate, and I wish they would give pace and space so that we can process and answer their questions and leave us feeling that it's a good experience to have had them into the house, not to go away and say, don't let them in again. You know, so yeah. You know, and if you were earwigging into the alumni, we laugh a lot. We get more done at our meetings, and that's what the professionals say, than the professionals get done in their own, even with their laughter. But we still, and we're quicker at getting outcomes because we don't be bothered with all of this, waiting for this and waiting for that, you know. And we're great ones for knocking people's doors and saying, excuse me, you know, we sent you an email last week. I'm here for the answer, and this is what I would like to happen.
Well, Agnes, you know, please keep on doing what you're doing. And you said that, you know, when you meet someone, you always take something away. Well, I'm going to take away the concept of the misery bus and the happy bus, because I really like that. And I will certainly take that away. And please do pass on my very best to Martin, James and Nancy. And congratulations on producing what I think is something really important in terms of the game, and also obviously what you're doing on end of life as well. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you here on the D Word. And I truly say you've been a real inspiration.
Thank you very, very much. And onwards and upwards with your program. Who knows? 4 years hence, it might be your 1,000th. Eh?
Well, we'll see about it. I never even thought we'd get to 200, but we're approaching it. But it's great. Do keep in touch, Agnes. And thank you so much.
Right. Thank you for having me.
I really enjoyed that. Thanks so much to Agnes, and I'm delighted that she's agreed to join me later in the year for another chat. In the meantime, you can try out Dementia Through Our Eyes by just putting it into Google or any other search engine, and take her advice and join us on the happy bus. Well, that's all for this edition, but I hope you'll join me again soon for another D Word podcast.